Hello, and welcome back to Be the Good Podcast. I am your host, Christy McCaffrey, and today I have with me a guest named Darian Johnson. Darian is the CEO and founder of The Community Curator. Darian is a 25-year-old North Philadelphia native who has inspired many others through her shared experiences and love for the community. Having overcome many of life's unique challenges early on, Darian has dedicated her life's work to strengthening grassroots organizations and healing Philadelphia families. Now having received her Bachelor's of Science in Public Health and Master's of Science in Nonprofit Management, Darian has built the Community Curator to be a resource, a solution, and furthermore, a love letter for her hometown. The Community Curator is a social impact consulting firm created to support individuals, organizations, and businesses in establishing, expanding, and evaluating their philanthropic footprint throughout Philadelphia communities. Darian is here to share more with us about her inspiring and unique mission to drive community impact. Let's take a listen. Hi, Darian. How are you?
Hi, Chrissy. I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm great, thanks. And I'm so happy to see you again. We met at a networking event a few months ago.
Yes.
And we definitely found that we have a lot of alignment and synergy in the impact and nonprofit space.
Yes.
I was super curious about what you did when we first met, and I've since learned more, and now I want to share it with my listeners. But let's start first by, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and then also how servant leadership began for you at an early age?
Absolutely. So honestly, my name is Darian. I'm 25 years old. I'm from North Philadelphia. And just having that experience growing up, my experience was a little bit different. My upbringing, I've come from a very large family. So I have 8 siblings. And with that being said, although I've always had the blessing of having both parents, there were still times where we had to figure it out. And so with figuring out is where my love for community pretty much came from. My parents were sure to keep me involved. So at about the early age of 2-3 years old, I was doing karate. I was in art class. I was doing tap and jazz and ballet all the way up until about the age of 14. Just being in different environments, I started to wonder, what can I do more for my community? And then that's when I became involved in social impact work by way of Philadelphia Freedom Schools, which, if you aren't aware about, it's a model that was pretty much created at the National Freedom School model that came from the 1960s, inspired by the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, where we had people of all races, black, white, who came together, who sought to make a difference and really yield quality education for African-American students. And so that's where the Philadelphia Freedom School model comes from. And at the age of 14, a mentor who saw my desire and just want to help others, they pulled me in and they said, you know what, let's get involved. And so around 14 is when I really started getting involved in that community organizing and mobilizing work.
That's amazing. I love hearing when people, especially when we meet now and I see all the work that you're doing, that seed was planted in you at such a young age. It just shows the power of what, you know, how we can instill the desire in kids.
Absolutely.
To do community work and to realize that they have the power to change things.
Yes, exactly.
So you went on to receive your Bachelor's of Science in Public Health and Master's of Science in Nonprofit Management. Can you tell us what inspired you to earn those specific degrees, and what were your goals or plans for how you would use those degrees towards social impact and supporting community-driven initiatives?
Definitely. So funny enough, although I've always had a love for community, I wasn't really sure what that work would look like. I knew that I loved helping people. So when I went to Delaware State University for my bachelor's, I thought that I was going to be a nurse. And I got accepted into the nursing program, and it did not work out. And then I was very distraught. I thought my entire world was over, but I now understand that Creator, the universe, was really aligning me with what my life work would be. And so although I did not get into nursing school, for me to graduate on time, the easiest degree for me to switch to was public health. And that was okay because it was aligned with community work. Got my bachelor's in public health and I'm like, what now? I found this program at Columbia that dealt with nonprofit management. I'm like, this deals with community involvement. This is something I can probably, you know, make work for myself. And I applied. I applied for the program and I got in. Although I did not get the fellowship, Columbia gave me $10,000. So I'm like, okay, now I have to really go to this program. And honestly, everything was alignment since then. And I've really learned strategies for implementing community involvement and advocacy work, and just being able to implement my real life experiences to understand, like, okay, there's real strategies to solving the problems that I once experienced. And so that's pretty much how I got into it, was having that blessing of receiving a scholarship, seeing what the program was able to offer me. And then, unfortunately, while being enrolled in a program, I actually had to drop out because I couldn't afford to pay my tuition at some point in 2021. So I'm going through college, my master's program, in the middle of the pandemic. And, you know, I asked myself, like, what next? Like, how can I continue my education? And that's when it came to me, you know how to help others. And that's pretty much what led to the community curator as well. It's just developing into a model to help others, but with pure intention.
Oh, so good. Thank you. I said to you before we started, like, you are the perfect guest for this show. And I just love all the ways that this work came to be.
Yes, thank you.
It sounds like you said, it was divinely led. You were divinely guided to do the work that you're doing, and it sounds like it's super aligned for you. So tell us a little bit about the advocacy work that you've done. What movements have you been involved with, and which issues are you most passionate about?
Definitely. So not many people were coming from a city like Philadelphia. We are the largest, poorest metropolitan in the entire nation. So having that experience growing up, some of the things that my community was plagued with were gun violence. Obviously, poverty being the issue that's associated. Food access. You've heard a lot of like health diagnosis. So these were all things that I've seen family members, friends, neighbors experience, and it made me want to advocate for it. But the biggest thing I probably would say is gun violence. Losing friends and now even students to gun violence definitely inspired me to just want to create safe spaces for youth to involve themselves and identify with that servant leadership role that someone once instilled in me. So I would definitely say gun violence and just overall creating healthy families is important to me.
And you really are taking major strides towards building up organizations in the Philadelphia area to give them the support that they need.
Yes.
And I know just from being in the nonprofit world myself that oftentimes people have great ideas for how they can help their community, but they don't know where to start, or even just the hurdles to becoming a 501c3 are so significant. It was one of the most stressful experiences of my life, was trying to start my nonprofit.
Yes.
And you're really helping, taking this knowledge that you've learned from your master's program and implementing it. So the Community Curator is a social impact consulting firm created to support individuals, organizations, and businesses in establishing, expanding, and evaluating their philanthropic footprint throughout Philadelphia communities.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about the curation experiences that you offer?
Absolutely. Well, first, what I like to say to anybody is that you are the curator of your community. So having that understanding that you can take the initiative to make a difference in your community, something that you see that you don't like, there are solutions for it. It's just about having strategies. So the idea of community curation versus creation is that we're not coming into an environment to recreate something to make it purposeful. We're looking at the things that already exist in that environment, and we're curating it to make solutions that are beneficial to the people that live inside of that community. So that's the idea of curation. And we have three phases for it. So the first one is to curate your capacity. So that goes back into that filing of the 501c3, building up the organizations, whether it be through strategic planning, board and governance, but really applying those best practices that we've seen these larger nonprofits really get the hang of it for so long, giving it to these smaller organizations. And that kind of goes into the next phase of curating your communication. So now that I'm confident, I'm strong, and I have all the things that I need to, you know, produce my mission efficiently, how am I reaching my target audience? So those services or experiences may look like social media management, newsletter decks, pitch decks, brochures. How are you articulating your mission and telling your story? You know, something that Be the Good Media does. How are you telling your story and articulating that to the community, your donors, and your beneficiaries? And then that leads into the last phase of curating the culture. So how are we curating the culture of the entire community, whether it be through programs or initiatives, stakeholder mapping? How are we creating this unified ecosystem of impact with one another?
It's so invaluable. Thank you. What you're offering organizations at the start, at like the infancy of their work.
Yes.
Is the ability to kind of cut through all of the challenges and hurdles that sometimes can keep you from making the impact, you know, sooner. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what would you say is the greatest value for nonprofit organizations when choosing to work with a consultant like yourself?
Well, really, I can only speak from my experience, and I know that I am someone who gets it. I understand the needs of our beneficiaries and the people that we're trying to serve. And I understand what culturally responsive solutions look like. One that A, people are going to be interested in, and B, that actually has the greater good of their best interests. I think in this work, a lot of times people see this work as project management, but it's so much more than that. And that's why we kind of don't use that term either, because project just means, you know, you're trying to get from point A to point Z. You have your hypothesis, your solutions, you test it out, and you close your laptop at the end of the day. But a lot of the work that we're solving are lifestyle challenges, and it really incorporates a mindset shift. So with that being said, how are we changing the attitudes of these people? And that comes from building relationships. A lot of times, even on Instagram, you'll see that I'm in the streets with my clients. Like, I'm behind the camera with them doing this impact. I'm going to their spaces, going to their after-school programs, understanding the needs of their youth, aside from just creating a Monday board and just saying, okay, this is what we're going to do for this program or this organization. Is so much more than that. So I do feel that when people choose to work with me, they get part of that experience, of that experiential, just expertise being included in that.
100%. That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's so important to explain that to people, because I just don't think that, especially nonprofits, like I said, people don't always understand that there's so much involved in trying to get your mission accomplished.
Yes.
And to have somebody like you on the team is so invaluable.
Yes.
And you say that you're always looking to build with others who are passionate about being involved in the community. What type of opportunities do you offer for people to get involved and volunteer?
Well, just recently we launched our Young Curators Program. And so that is an internship opportunity for students from the age of 14, because sometimes, you know, we might feel that young students aren't interested in community work or they can't make a difference, but they can, because I started at 14. So from 14 to age 24 years old. So we look at students from all range, whether you're in undergrad or graduate school, and we put them in real life experiences. So we match them with a co-curator, because we don't call our clients clients, we call them co-curators. We match them with a co-curator that's aligned with their life passion. So right now we have some of our interns who are interested in being lawyers. We're going to match them with something that deals with social justice. If we have someone who's interested in being a teacher, we'll match them with something that's our organization that's advocating for quality education. So pretty much giving them those real life skills that they can implement and take in the future, whether it be fundraising, grant writing, strategic planning. They also learn skills like graphic designing as well, blogging and PR, communication. So these are all different things that people have the opportunity to learn when they choose to work with the community curator. And we're always looking for volunteers as well. So that's
incredible,
really important
that you have that as an offering for the students, because that's a really unique offering.
Yes.
Really, for people that age. And you're absolutely right. 14 is not too young. I'd even encourage, you know, people to get their kids involved in community service, even younger than that.
Absolutely.
Teach them, you know, what it's like to be involved and how they can make an impact.
Yes.
I love that you're doing that. So as a mission-driven for-profit company, you prioritize people over profit.
Definitely.
You do, however, encourage investors to support your mission. You say that an investment in your company is an investment in the community. And we now see why, after you've explained everything that you're offering. Can you tell us more about how these funds help to amplify your mission?
Absolutely. So even before we were established, we saw the need of our co-curators and we wanted to be able to serve them. So now having an investment fund will allow us to support with that pro bono work. And we also believe in paying our interns as well. So because I was once an intern at 15, 16, and I understood the biggest thing that I needed, yes, was experience, but I also needed money. Having that experience showed me, like, we have to pay our youth too. They're sacrificing their time just as any adult is, and they're building a brand brand for themselves. They're building their capacity. And oftentimes they have families that they are supporting, you know, behind closed doors that we may not be aware about. So when we have our investment fund and you do invest into the community curator, you're investing into community, you're investing into youth, and you're really investing into someone's future as well. And so that's something that we really do take pride in.
And I would imagine that, you know, paying an intern too gives them that incentive to want to keep coming back.
And yes.
Also, like, then the more time they spend with you or doing work with you, the more you're sort of planting that seed for them to maybe, even if they don't do this type of work as they yes. get older, to keep this type of work in mind.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's important when you're engaged in this community to understand that they need to see results. Mm-hmm. People need to see results, and people need to have that trust and know that you're not going to leave them behind or leave them hanging. So if I'm able to offer you this resource, this knowledge, this information, like you said, it helps to build that experience. And then people can see, like, okay, not only is this experience or lifestyle, whether I choose to be a nonprofit director or not, can it be profitable, but it can also be very impactful yes. for the community.
I also love that you are a for-profit company.
Thank you, yeah.
That's doing good, because yes. you know what? So is my production company.
See?
And yeah. I really believe in being an example for the fact that we can be for-purpose, for-profit, impact-driven.
Yes.
And not have to be in a lane of a nonprofit.
Absolutely.
You know? And we're supporting nonprofits. You yes. and I both are. And I deeply believe in 501c3s mm-hmm. and what they're designed to do. But I think that sometimes, I don't know if you feel this way, especially because you've kind of just started in this role, you know, newer than I have. I've
yes.
been doing it for like the past 10 years. Sometimes you just kind of get put in this spot of like, you're a nonprofit mm-hmm. or you're for a purpose and you're for the good, and you should expect to not, you know, be paid well,
right?
Or, you know, so I love that you're actually starting off on that foot and saying, because everything that you're offering is incredibly valuable.
Yes.
And yeah, it's absolutely. Important to define that from the jump.
Likewise. And I would encourage those who are listening really to just respect social impact leaders just as much as you would respect a doctor or a lawyer, because this is someone who has dedicated their time and invested, whether it be through school or learning opportunities, to benefit the community. And so if this is their, not even craft, but their life work, their passion, we should respect that. And we should be asking ourselves, what can I be doing to help that person, because we know that they're helping the community.
Yes. Like, that should be even more of an incentive
exactly.
to get behind
yes.
what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just explained what your degrees are, and that's not an easy process to
no.
go through getting those degrees. And it's much like a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, it's super important that you get that same level of respect. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. And on this podcast, we often discuss the topics of community and compassion. They're
yes.
my two favorite topics to talk about. Clearly, community is at the heart of your mission. That is really what drives your work. I'm wondering if you could tell us how important community building is, in your opinion, and what is the overall vision you have for the communities you're working with here in the Philadelphia area?
Community building is so important. I have to take my time of answering this question. One of the models that we use in this idea of community curation is micro to meso, to macro. So understanding that micro means the smaller unit. And the way that I see it is the smaller unit being yourself, and the macro being the community, and the meso being the bridge between the two. Understanding that I can't take care of community without taking care of myself, and vice versa, I can't not take care of myself without taking care of community, because our environment ultimately helps to create who we are holistically. We are products of our environment. No matter how we see it, no matter where you grew up, you are a product of your environment. Whether you're proud or not makes a difference, and this is why we're talking about social impact. But community building allows us to see the potential of our people, and what happens when our hearts and our intentions align with one another, we create a much healthier and safer place for everyone. And so when I think about the vision of the community curator, the vision is for everyone to thrive, despite race, demographics, your money, you know, your education level, background. Understanding that you're human, I'm human, you have a heart, I have a heart, and we both know right from wrong. And we both know when something feels good and when it doesn't. And we could turn on the news and see this right now and ask ourselves, what more could we be doing to help this global shift of humanity, because some things are just not okay. So yeah, that's when I think of community building, I just think of taking the right steps to make a difference in our environment, starting within.
I just got the chills while you were saying all that, because I wholeheartedly agree. And I think it's so important to have these conversations, especially right now.
Yes, especially.
Because it's easy to get caught up in the negative.
Yes.
But this is also why this podcast exists, because I love bringing the conversation back to, but like, how can we take small steps in our own way to change that?
Yeah.
In a positive direction. So thank you for sharing that. And can you tell us what your own definition of compassion is and how it relates to the work that you do?
Yes. For me, it's about holding space in your heart for others. Company and passion. Those are the two words that I see. I don't know if that's the real linguistics for it, if not, but I think of company and I think of passion. And when I think of compassion together, it means holding space in your heart for others, not just seeing yourself, but seeing something greater than yourself, and that being community. So that's what it means for me.
I love that you broke that down into those two words, because I've never thought of it that way. But yeah, compassion is really, even if it's self-compassion,
yes,
it's still like the company and the passion of giving yourself the attention that you need.
Absolutely.
Right? Or compassion for others is giving them that sense of company and that I care about what you're going through.
Yes. And yeah, exactly. Being able to say, I'm here for you. I see it and I recognize it. And we see that, you know, as little as driving up the street and someone may be, you know, asking for change. I see you. So if I have it, being able to provide that philanthropic mindset or that attitudinal shift, it starts right then and there. Just being able to see the need and ask myself, what can I do? I have a dollar in my pocket, $5. Okay, maybe I don't want to give this person my money, but I could walk them into the store and buy them some food. That helps to make a difference in that person's life.
Yeah, absolutely. I love asking people that question because I always get a different answer. And that was a great different answer. So thank you so much for sharing all of this about what you do. I encourage my listeners to check out the Community Curator and learn more about what you do. Invest in your work. Get behind the work that you're doing, because there's so much power in community.
Yes.
And coming together for this greater purpose, and everybody can help in their own way, and supporting you is a great way to just take one step towards helping. So can you tell us where we can learn more about the Community Curator, how we can follow along with your work, and how can people invest in your ongoing mission?
So the Community Curator on all social media platforms. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn. We're even on TikTok, because when we talk about culturally responsive strategies, that's where the youth are. So we have to TikTok it up as well. Twitter. You can also just go to thecommunitycurator.com. If you're looking to invest, you can go to thecommunitycurator.com/investwithus or invest in TCC. So you'll see that as well. And the fund is there. It's transparent. You can see how much we have raised. I think right now the goal is $50,000. So anybody is able to contribute to that. And just some things that we're planning to do next year. In the month of January, we're looking to do a curation clinic. So we're going to invite nonprofits from the city to come and create a 12-month programming calendar for themselves, a budget. We're going to do stakeholder mapping as well. We're going to do SWOT analysis. So, and this is all going to be done within a matter of 4 hours. So we're going to be really locking in with these nonprofits to say, like, listen, you don't have to have board meeting after board meeting to get these things done. You just need time and you need, you know, efficiency. So that's what we're looking to do with our co-curators within the next year.
That's fabulous.
You.
Love that idea.
Yes.
So I'm going to post in the show notes everything that you just mentioned so that everybody can easily find it. But thank you so much for being here, Darian, and for sharing this great work that you're doing with us.
Thank you, Christy. I appreciate that. And for Be the Good Media as well. Thank you so much for the platform that you have created. Just to listen to social impact leaders, I think this storytelling is so important. And together we are being the good and curating the community to the end.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you saying that.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Be the Good podcast. Please be sure to like, comment, and share, and follow us on Instagram at BeTheGood_media. You can also visit www.bethegoodmedia.com to learn more about our production agency and how we help to amplify the causes and missions of for-purpose and nonprofit organizations and individuals. And remember, we can all find our own way to be the good.